turn with me to the book of Exodus. And if you turn to chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. This evening I want to look at the institution of the Passover. And we're going to be looking specifically at the Passover and the elements of the Passover and how the Passover was really foretelling the coming of Jesus to take away our sins and deliver us out from beneath the bondage of sin. Let's read chapter 12, and we probably won't read all of it. Let's begin at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according unto the to his eating, and make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, past roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And eat not of it raw, nor sodden, of all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and the portents thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this evening and look at these verses again, Lord, help us to understand the significance of all that's you're recording for the nation of Israel to do, and how that you have also given this to us as an example and a type of what was going to happen when Jesus came to take away our sin. Lord, speak to us tonight through your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at the beginning of the introduction of these verses and looked at how they translated into the time when Jesus came. This evening I want to look specifically at the elements of the Passover and what they were, the significance of them was. I'm going to just read a little bit out of the Feast of Israel so that you get a better context of what was transpiring during the Passover meal. And the Passover is a feast that is continually celebrated by the nation of Israel, and it's still being celebrated today. It's said it would be celebrated throughout as long as Israel exists and until the Lord returns. And it's to remind the nation of Israel what transpired when they were delivered out from underneath the enslavement to the land of Egypt, and how God delivered them and they came out a nation from Egypt. There are various elements that are in the Passover today. There are only three elements that you saw in the Passover as we read it. There was first the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread, as we saw here, was a bread without yeast, and it had significance. The significance of the unleavened bread is the fact that it had the yeast was a sign of sin within the life of the Israelites. But also, the unleavened bread was a reminder that they had no time to prepare, that God would deliver them, and that their bread didn't have time to rise. Yeast, as you know, takes time to rise, and unleavened bread is one that we normally eat in America. It has air pockets in it, and it's raised up, and it's a loaf of bread. This would be flat bread. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which we'll be doing this next Sunday, we use matzah, which is the unleavened bread that they're speaking of here. And matzah is a flat bread. It has no yeast. There's no air in it. And this would be part of this Passover meal that they had, because they didn't have time for the yeast to rise. Later on, we realized that it was also so that it was a symbol of the fact that there was not to be sin in their life. The sin was to be gone. The second element that we see here was the bitter herbs. And the bitter herbs were there, and they were to remind the nation of Israel of the bitterness of enslavement that they had had. Their enslavement was the nation of Egypt. Our enslavement prior to us coming to Jesus Christ is our enslavement to sin. Sin has control over us like Pharaoh had control over them. Pharaoh had enslaved them. They had no freedom. They didn't have the ability to do what God had called them to do because Pharaoh told them what they would do, when they would do it, where they would go, and what they could do their tasks with. We see that sign of bitterness was to be reminded through the bitter herbs, where they were to be reminded of this. The third element that we see in the first Passover that was given was the lamb. And the lamb was the central figure of the Passover because, as we studied last week, just briefly, this was to be a lamb that was 1 year old. It was to be without blemish, and it was to be slain on the night before they would be delivered by the Lord. The angel of death would be coming, and they were to take the blood of the lamb, put on the lintels and the doorposts, and they were to do this with hyssop, and hyssop would be taken and dipped into the blood of the lamb and then spread on the lintels and on the doorpost, and the angel of death would pass over, and the firstborn of the houses that had that would be spared. And so we see that these were the elements of the Passover. The Lord told them that they were to celebrate this. Later on, there are other things that were added to the Passover, and these other things were, first of all, a little jar. If you go to a Jewish Passover today, you'd see these three elements that we spoke of, except the lamb wouldn't be there. In the place of the lamb, they would have a bone, and it would be a little thigh bone, and they would have that bone, and they'd place that on the plate instead of the lamb. And it would to be remind them of the slain lamb. But they'd also have the bitter herbs. And in most Jewish Passover plates, that bitter herbs would be horseradish, because horseradish, when you breathe it in, causes you to tear up and weep and remind them of the bitterness that had been suffered by the nation of Israel at the hand of Pharaoh. The third element that we see that was here is the unleavened bread. At the Passover today, within the home of a Jewish people, they would have three pieces of unleavened bread. They would have a top one, a middle one, and a bottom one. They'd be placed into a cloth would be placed over them. And then at their various portions of the Passover service, these bread would be, different things would be done with them. At one of the most significant things, points of the Passover, the middle piece would be taken out, broken in two. Part of it would be broken into pieces and passed out amongst those that were to be in attendance. The other half would be taken and hidden until a later time in the service. At the end of the Passover service, at the very end, one of the last things that would be done is that the people would go to search for this hidden loaf of half a loaf of matzah, or half a piece of matzah, and then whoever found it would receive a special blessing, and then they would be given pieces of that last piece of matzah as the last thing that would be involved with the eating part of the Passover, and it would be passed out by the elder that would be there. The other elements of the Passover that we would see today are four cups of wine. And the four cups of wine, they speak of the first cup is to deal with, I will bring you out from under your burdens. And this is what would be said as they would drink the first cup of wine, that the Lord had promised he would bring the nation of Israel out of their burdens, and they would remember this. And so the people at the Passover celebrate this drinking the first cup of wine, or grape juice. The second cup would be, I will rid you of your bondage. And this would be said as they would be reminded of the fact that they had been delivered from their bondage, their enslavement to Pharaoh, and this would be celebrated at the Passover as the second cup of wine or grape juice. The third cup is I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. And remember, we said an outstretched hand is the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord would redeem them, not their own strength, not their own power. This is the third cup. Also, it's very important that this third cup, and to understand, as we're going to be looking in just a moment, of what happened on the last night when Jesus was with his disciples, this third cup is taken after this piece of matzah, the half piece that had been hidden, is found. And after it had been given to the people to eat, then this third cup of wine is drank, it's the remember of the redemption of the Lord. The last cup is to remind the people that I, the Lord, will take you to me for a people. And this is the last thing that they do before they leave, singing a hymn. And we're going to be looking at the significance of that this evening. Now, as you look at these things and these elements of the Jewish Passover, there's also a couple things that have been added that don't appear anywhere in Scripture here. And one of them is referred to the charoset, which is a clay-like mixture of apples, nuts, cinnamon, and grape juice. And this is done and it's placed on the plate, the Passover plate. And it's to remind the people of the brick and the mortar that the Jewish people had to build all of the Pharaoh's structures that he wanted them to build during their enslavement. During one of the last portions of the Passover, there is the Hillel sandwich, for a better word, that is made with this and with a piece of the matzah bread. And that's placed on, and the people eat that, and it's passed out to them. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit about the order of this Passover service as it's done. It says, six of these Passover elements are usually set on a special decorated Seder plate positioned above the matzah pouch, and that's where the three pieces of matzah are put in. Once the table is set, all the elements out in place, the evening's festivities begin. The lady of the house greets the holiday with a blessing over the festival candles. After the participants gather at the table, the first cup of wine, the Kadesh, is blessed and drunk, followed by a hand-washing ceremony. Cleanliness has always been important to the Jewish people. Ceremonial washings played an integral role in the biblical Judaism and still do in rabbinical Judaism. A green vegetable, usually parsley, is then dipped into the salt water and eaten by all the participants. At this point, the middle matzah is taken out from the matzah pouch and broken in half. Once one half is put back inside the pouch for later use. The other half is wrapped in a cloth and hidden away to be hunted later by the children. This special piece of unleavened bread is called the afikomen. Now, just a little side note here that I didn't mention, that parsley is dipped in salt water, is also a symbol of the hyssop that was used to put the blood on the lintels and the doorpost within the Passover meal. It's to remind them of that. The story of Exodus is then recounted, introduced by the youngest child who poses the question, why is this night of Pesach, or Passover, so different from all the other nights of the year? The child then asks four more questions. On all other nights we may eat either leavened or unleavened bread. Why on this night must we eat only unleavened bread? On all other nights we may eat any species of herbs. Why on this night do we only eat bitter herbs? On all other nights we do not dip even once. Why on this night do we dip twice? On all other nights we eat and drink either sitting or reclining. Why on this night do we recline? And we're going to get into that in just a moment. The answers to these questions form the impetus for explaining the Passover story. Beginning with Abraham's God-given glimpse into Israel's enslaved future in Genesis 15, 13 through 14, the account of Moses and the redemption of Egypt is retold. When the narrative comes to the 10 plagues, each participant dips a finger representing the finger of God in judgment into a goblet and places a drop of wine on the plate as each plague is recited. As the retelling of the Passover story concludes, two of the Hillel Psalms, that is, the Hillel Psalms are Psalms 113 to 118, and these Psalms are sung and recited at the Passover service. Psalms 113 and 114 are spoken, followed by the blessing and drinking of the second cup. All participants then wash their hands, while an appropriate blessing is spoken. A blessing also is pronounced as the upper and middle matzahs are broken and distributed for everyone to eat immediately following the eating of the bitter herbs. Next, a sandwich is formed from the bitter herbs, the karoset, and the two pieces of the bottom matzah, known as the halal sandwich. It originally included meat from the Passover lamb and was instituted by Hillel the Elder, a notable first century Jewish rabbi, and therefore bears his name. Finally, the time arrives for the service for the festive, often sumptuous holiday meal. Once that is completed, the participants search for and eat the afikomen, that is the hidden half of the unleavened bread. This is a moment for the children anxiously await. When the previously hidden afikomen is discovered, the fortunate finder brings the enshrouded piece of matzah to the father, who rewards the child, usually with a monetary gift. The afikomen is then broken and distributed for everyone to eat. No other food is taken after the afikomen has been consumed. The meal is followed by a prayer of thanksgiving, succeeded by blessing and drinking the third cup of wine. A member of the family is then asked to go to the door, open it, and see if Elijah the prophet is coming. The remaining Hillel Psalms, Psalm 115 through 118, are then read, followed by a blessing and drinking of the fourth and final cup. Some of the observant families then fill Elijah's cup, surrounded with all the other cups, signifying the special place Elijah has in Israel's future redemptive future redemption. And remember, Elijah is foretold by the prophets that he would come, and he would be coming before the Messiah to introduce the Messiah to the nation of Israel. At the conclusion of the Passover Seder, additional festival songs are sung. Looking forward to the coming Messianic age, all the participants cry out with one voice, "Next year in Jerusalem." And with the expression of hope, the first night of the Festival of Unleavened Bread begins. So that's just a quick summary of the Jewish Passover meal. Now, what is the significance of some of this? Well, first of all, I want you to go ahead a few hundred years from the time of Moses, when this first Passover was instituted, to when Jesus was in the upper room and he was celebrating the last Passover he would celebrate with his disciples. And it's interesting as you look at this, and turn with me to Luke 22:15. Luke 22:15, and this is Jesus as he's celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And it'll help us to understand some of the things that are going on because of what we know of the order of the Passover service. In 22:15, Jesus has said unto them, with desire, and he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So this is the last Passover. They're beginning to celebrate this meal. Now there's some things that we're not going to be turning to all the scriptures. You can go and look at them when you get home. But some of the events that transpired that night. First of all, you remember there was the event of the disciples all around the table. And if you've ever seen the picture of the last Passover that has been painted, it's done wrong. They're all sitting and standing. They wouldn't have done that. They would have been reclining. Remember the questions of the children? Why do we recline when we eat this meal? Well, what was the reclining? To recline meant that you were free. That was a sign that you had been set free. A person who reclined around the table when they ate was a symbol of freedom. And so at the Passover meal, they were celebrating their deliverance from Egypt. And so all of the disciples would have been reclining around the table, as everyone who would celebrate the Passover does. Today in America, Americans probably don't want to recline around the table, but what they will do is they'll place a table on their chair and they'll lean a little bit to indicate that they're reclining. This is a symbol of their freedom. Now, anyone who stood and anyone who did washing was a servant, and they were not free. They were under bondage. Can you imagine the disciples, and we've talked about this before in messages that I brought before, as they're reclining around the table, and if you go to the accounts, remember they were arguing over who was greatest in the kingdom as they're reclining around the table, eating the Passover Seder, doing the Passover Seder with the Lord. And as they're doing that, all of a sudden they get to the point of washing in the Passover. And Jesus stands up, gets a basin of water, places a towel around himself, and begins to wash the feet of the disciple. Not their hands, but their feet. The most humbling of all washings. And they're celebrating the freedom of being delivered from the bondage out from under the world of Pharaoh. Is what the Passover is to remind the people of, but it's to point them to the fact that they're going to be delivered out from the bondage of sin by the coming Messiah. And Jesus, who's their rabbi and teacher, stands up and washes their feet at this particular moment in the Passover. Can you imagine the horror? He's a servant, but he's free. He's our teacher. He should be reclining, not standing. We don't get the full impact of some of this stuff. Because someone who is Jewish, who has celebrated this and then comes to know the Lord, would have a little more understanding of some of these things. But they wouldn't even understand a lot of it because of the cultural differences from the time of Christ till now, where we don't understand servants and bondage the way that they would have in Jesus' day. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you remember that they went and they found this piece and they broke it into pieces and it was given to all the people. And then there was a prayer said. What do we do on Sunday morning? Which we'll do on Sunday morning when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We take the matzah, which would really be part of that third matzah, and it's broken, and it's passed out to everyone. That's the same thing that has been done in celebration, first of all, of what had happened with Egypt, with the deliverance from the people by the Passover, where they'd been delivered from the angel of death and delivered from out from under Pharaoh. But Jesus, what did he do when he took that bread? He took that bread, which was a sign of the deliverance that God had performed out from the angel of death, and he passed it out to them, and he said, after he had broken it and said a prayer, he passed it out to them and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do you understand the impact that that would have had on these people? Because they had viewed this as a remembrance of what God had done for them in delivering them from Pharaoh. And now Jesus is saying, my body is broken for you, that you can be delivered. Then it says that he took the cup. What do we read in the order of the service? It was the third cup that came after this half a piece of matzah had been broken and passed out to everyone and a prayer had been said. Then the third cup was passed and come, and it was drunk by the people. What was the third cup? The third cup was the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption. And it said the third cup, they would understand that that third cup is to stand for the fact that I, God, will redeem you with an outstretched hand. I will redeem you by my power. What does Jesus say? He says, as he hands them this third cup, he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As oft as ye drink it, do it in remembrance of me. He's telling them this third cup, the cup of redemption, is a new covenant. It's a new testament. It's a new means of salvation. The old covenant was under the law. The old covenant was the deliverance out from the world. I'm delivering you out from your sins, and the new covenant is given not in a cup, but it's given in my blood. And so, can you imagine the impact on his disciples as they're hearing this? This is totally different from anything they'd ever... These guys, these are all men who are Orthodox. They're all men who celebrated the Passover many times. And for the first time, they're hearing Jesus say, this cup is the new covenant given in my blood. As oft as ye eat, drink it, do it in remembrance of me. That's exactly what they did. And that's what that element of the Passover shows, is it is pointing towards the Christ. Now, it's another interesting thing. You saw that prior to that, as they were eating and things, that there was a sandwich made of the bitter herbs and the matzah and the lamb, and it was put together. And today they don't have the lamb. Why don't they have the lamb? Why don't they sacrifice the lamb? Because, number one, the sacrifice, the temple is gone. The sacrifices have been stopped because Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins, and he was the ultimate Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. And all other lambs were pointing to him. All other lambs that were celebrated in the Passover were pointing to the ultimate Lamb of God, Jesus, who would come to take away the sin of the world. He would lay down his life to pay for our sins. These lambs, during the Passover, they gave their lives that their blood could be placed on the lintels and the doorpost, and that the angel of death would pass over. Jesus laid down his life that his blood could be shed, that his blood would cover us, that God's wrath would pass over, and that we could experience God's blessing, not his judgment. And that we could be forgiven for our sins because of the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. And so we see that that's why there's no lamb at the Passover today. You go and there is no, they don't have lamb. They don't have this meat on the Passover Seder plate. They just have a bone as a remembrance that this lamb exists. But the problem is they don't realize who he is today, unless they come to receive Jesus as their Lord. Then there's an interesting thing that happens. We have the fourth cup. The fourth cup, it says, is the last thing that's done. And the fourth cup is drunk after they've talked about Elijah. And usually, there'll always be, most Jews will set an extra plate, Not all, but most will set an extra plate at the table, and they'll put a place out there, and there'll be nothing put on the plate, and there'll be nobody sitting at that place. And what they are doing is they're preparing a place for Elijah. And most Jews today probably don't even understand the significance of that. What they're really saying is the Messiah is coming again. And Elijah is going to come before the Messiah. And when the Messiah comes, Elijah is going to come first and say, "Prepare your way for the Lord, because he's coming." And we know that Jesus is coming again. We studied that last Sunday morning, that Jesus is coming again. Well, the Passover celebration points to that. Elijah's plate is set there. One of the last things they do is the children will go, or someone will go to the door, and just to see if perhaps Elijah may be waiting at the door to come in and take his place, and then the Messiah will come. But every time it doesn't happen. But one day Elijah will come. And it's interesting what the fourth cup is. The fourth cup is, "I will take you to me for a people." I will take you to me for a people. Now, when the Lord took the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he took them for a people. When the Lord comes again, as we studied on Sunday, he's going to take his church to himself for a people. And he's going to come in and call us unto himself as his people. And so this is what the Passover meal is talking about. And then it says that what did they do at the end of the meal? They sang the last Hallel. Or they either recite it or sing it. What did it say that Jesus did with his disciples when they left? It's recorded in Scripture what they left. Because a lot of people said, well, it really wasn't, they weren't really celebrating the Passover. It really wasn't the Passover. Yes, it was the Passover. Because as I mentioned, the elements line up. Jesus putting on the towel, Jesus at the instituting the Lord's Supper with the unleavened bread and the cup, the third cup of wine. And then you see that what he does at the end of, it says that they went out singing a hymn. What were they singing? They were singing the Hallel. Psalms mean songs. These are the songs of Israel. They're the songs of David. And they went out singing these last three Hallel hymns that are found in the Psalms. And so we see that it all lines up exactly like we see that the Passover is even celebrated today within the Jewish community. Well, what does this tell us? That God is a God who's in control. Because you stop and think, why should the Passover have all these elements in it today? We're literally separated from Moses and the deliverance of the nation of Israel by a few thousand years. Yet it's the same. Why should the Church of Jesus Christ be doing the same thing that Jesus instituted, even though we're separated from him by over 2,000 years? Because God instituted these, and God said they would remain. The Lord told us to celebrate the Lord's Supper when we met in remembrance of him. And God's in control, and God will cause his people to follow and do what he indicates they shall do. And a sign that God is God is the fact that he said the Passover would be celebrated amongst the Jews forever. And it still is. And if there's ever a people that shouldn't have wanted it, it would be the Jews. Because they're persecuted wherever they go. And one of the signs of that people know they're Jews is they celebrate the Passover. One of the things that people know that we're Christians is we remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper. But we still do it because we're honoring the Lord for what he's done for us. And they're remembering what the Lord did for them as a nation. Bringing them out from under Pharaoh. He brought us out from under our sin. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths. And help us to apply these truths to our life. Help us to get a more clear picture of what happened in the upper room with the disciples as they celebrated the Passover with Jesus. A better and clearer picture of the attitudes and what was going on as Jesus did these things, and how these would be so shocking to them, that this is my body which is broken for you, and this is my blood which is shed for you. At this particular time, they knew exactly what he was doing at the time he was doing it. It wasn't by chance, but it was purposed, and you did it to reveal to us who you were and why you came. Lord, now I pray that you would just help us to share with others the hope we have in Jesus. This we'd ask in his name. Amen. In closing,